conference will now be recorded.
Thank you. And again, today is July 25th of 2023. It is 1 p.m. and we would like to call to order our Plumbing Technical Advisory Committee meeting. I'm Arlita Peters. I'm going to help facilitate your meeting today. Let's begin by doing a roll call. TAC members, if you would answer by saying here. Billing?
Here.
Bath? Boyer? TAC members, make sure your lines are unmuted so that I hear you. Bob Boyer? Gary Durin?
Matt Durin. And also present is my alternate, Max Durin.
Thank you. Eduardo Gonzalez?
Here.
Gary Kozan?
Here.
Isaac Kovner?
Isaac Kovner, here.
Brian Linkfield?
Here.
Susan Mayfield?
Here.
Ryan Stricker?
Here.
Zach McStravick?
Here.
Is this a quorum? Thank you for being here today. As again, I'm Arlita Peters, helping facilitate the meeting. Would our staff members please recognize themselves?
Jim Sellers.
Jim Hammers.
Justin Vogel.
Brian Rickard.
Tom Amble.
Jim Sellers, Jim Hammers, Mo Madani, and Justin Vogel on the line as well. I think we had a little interruption there. TAC members, if you would please approve the agenda as posted if there are no recommended changes.
Move approval, Gary Durin.
Seconded, Jack Stravick.
Thank you. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, we'd like to approve the previous minutes. That would be of October the 6th of 2022, if there are no recommended corrections or changes.
So
moved. I can't hear you, TAC members.
So I can.
The motion, please.
Schilling and... Who seconded it?
Second. Next on the agenda, we are here to consider and discuss the following declaratory statement, DS-2023-025. By Kevin Martin of the Baza Self Storage of Alachua County. Do we have any guests on the line? Mr. Martin, have you joined us? Or anyone representing this property?
Yeah, you have Mitchell Mason, civil engineer, representing.
Mitchell Mason, thank you. Do we have any other guests on the line? And Mr. Mason, you'll be speaking on behalf of Mr. Martin, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, if needed.
Okay. We will begin with our staff analysis as it's been presented. Mr. Madani, did you have any comments at this time?
I wonder if you can let the petitioner speak first, okay, before I... analysis?
Certainly. Mr. Mason, that would be you if you'd like to give any opening comments as to your request for this declaratory statement.
Okay.
Sure. I can, I guess, go ahead and kind of touch base with what the petition will say, but the applicant proposes a self-storage facility that will be unmanned and accessed via an app by patrons, so it'll be a gated facility with no attending employees for people to visit their storage units and then go on their merry way. As such, we are not anticipating any need for demand for water or sewer, and prefer not to have a bathroom included on the site. So that's what brought us to file this petition. I believe for the building official for the city of Alachua, he recommended that we pursue the section of code that we did, which I believe was also for parking facilities with no employees. I guess the rest should be hopefully plainly written in the petition here. So if you guys have read that or want to read it or would like me to read it, just let me know. Yeah, happy to help.
Thank you. Does that conclude your comments, sir?
Yes, it does.
Mr. Madani, staff analysis?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Mo Madani. The staff analysis is posted on the agenda. What I'm going to do is just go through it in a more summary fashion. The issue is, as it stated on the agenda, DS 2023-025. As the petitioner stated, mainly the specific questions that's being asked is, are employee or public qualified facility required for a self-storage facility with no attending employee and access restricted only to those renting storage units? There is some background information included in the analysis. As is stated by the petitioner, they're proposing to build a gated and fenced storage facility comprised of 12 single-story buildings with associated drive aisles for vehicle access and interior access to all storage units. The proposed building contains a cumulative total 56,000 square feet of building area and resulting in 518 units of varying sizes, the storage of 5x5 units, 5x10, 10x10, 10x15, and etc. Access to the property is limited to patrons who are given a code to bypass the gate and access their storage units. The building site is not attended by any employees. The Florida Building Code, Chapter 29, the petitioner elected to use Chapter 29, which has a plumbing requirement similar to what's in the Florida Plumbing Code. We're talking about the 2020 edition. It's under Section 2902. It has provided for the minimum plumbing facilities for this project in question. Item 8, as stated in the staff analysis for structure, for the storage, etc., it does provide for a minimum facility that has to be provided. In addition to that, Section 2902.3 of that chapter, employee and public storage facility, is mainly to state that for structure and tenant spaces intended for public utilization, customer patrons and visitors shall be provided with the public toilet facility. It does have two exceptions. One exception is, it says mainly public toilet facility shall not be required for, and one is parking garages were operated without parking attendance, and two structures and tenant spaces intended for quick transactions, including takeout, pickup and a drop-off, having a public access area less than or equal to 300 square feet. The issue that's being discussed here has to do with exception number two. In terms of the staff analysis on this, again, emphasize the question is, are employee or public storage facility required for a self-storage facility with no attending employee and access restricted only to those renting the storage unit? The answer, there's two answers here, one from the petitioners and one from staff. So option one, as an answer, the petitioner respectfully believes that the answer to the question outlined above is no. And the petitioner mainly explained that the proposed self-storage facility is to be operated without an on-site employee or attendant. The facility is intended for quick transactions by renters who drop off or pick up their stored units, items. The site is gated and accessible only to renters via a phone and web application. The petitioner believes that it is reasonable to interpret the exceptions as applicable to the proposed site. If the Florida Building Code would agree, the petitioner believes omitting the storage facility does not compromise public safety, health, or welfare, and would provide the petitioner with a more reasonable cost to construct the storage facility. Option number two, for the question from the staff, the answer to the petitioner's question is yes. The intended operation of the proposed self-storage facility does not meet the provisions of Section 2902.3 Exception 2, which is limited in scope to structures and tenant spaces intended for a quick transaction and having access area less than or equal to 300 square feet. Any questions?
Members, do you have any clarifying questions for either Mo or Mr. Mason?
Yes, Gary, I have a number of questions for Mr. Mason.
Sorry, what was your name, please?
Gary Kozan.
Hi, Gary. Go ahead, please.
Well, doing the math, it looks like you got 12 buildings, 5,600 square feet, 4,700 square foot per building, that would be 518 individual storage units. So you probably are going to have, by my math, about 110 square feet. About a 10 by 10 storage unit would be the average. So my first question is, can a single patron or single customer have multiple storage units, or are they just limited to one storage unit?
Mr. Mason?
I don't believe there's any restriction. I could confirm with the applicant. I guess I'll find, but to my knowledge, there's no restriction on having multiple. But you are correct as to, you know, the general average size that would be there. I think the largest size that would be presented is really a 10 by 20.
Right. Okay. On a 10 by 10 storage unit, if somebody wanted to load that thing up, how long do you think it would take them to load it up or to unload up a 10 by 10 storage unit? What would you estimate?
In a 10 by 10, I'd say maybe a couple of hours at most, certainly dependent on, you know, someone's ability and physical condition.
Okay, so what would you believe would be the average time that a patron would be at the unit to do drop off or pick up material or items inside the unit or to load or unload? What would you say would be the average time?
I would think majority would be well under an hour, probably in the range of 10 to 15 minutes. And then a longer stretch, say someone is, you know, moving in for the first time, might have somewhere closer to the hour mark or beyond.
Okay, but it wouldn't be necessarily a controlled time. It could be an uncontrolled time. It could be 5 minutes. It could be a couple hours or more. Is that right?
Yes, sir, at the patron's discretion.
If the toilet facilities were required Do you have any idea how many plumbing fixtures and facilities that would entail? Have you figured it out?
Not currently. I know it would be difficult to connect the municipal sewer 1,500 feet away, so we'd probably have to do a lift station.
That's a long way.
That would be, yeah. And the city does require connection within half a mile, which we are within. The cost of that would be pretty substantial. But we've had some preliminary talks about should a bathroom be required, what could we do? I think it would just be one for men and one for women was our preliminary calculations. There was some discussion about potentially alternatives such as like composting or incinerating toilets. I know there's some discussion of those in the administrative code, but we haven't quite gotten into that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Doing the calculations according to the building code, the egress occupancy load, you're looking at 187 occupants, and the number is 300 square foot gross per occupant. So you would end up with two water closets, two laths, and a drinking fountain. So you could do, you would have to provide a men's and women's or a two unisex bathroom. That's what would be required. Are you familiar with the recent BOAF code interpretation regarding a similar facility like this?
I don't believe so.
Okay, there was a report, number 8783, issued by BOAF, and it appeared to be quite closely related to what you have here. Their interpretation, their response, was it would not be exempt because the actual time the person stay is uncontrolled, in contrast to a dry cleaner drop-off or a deli pickup counter or an ATM lobby. Okay, I have no more questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Govan. TAC members, any other questions from you? Hearing none, do we have anyone from the public with clarifying questions or comments? TAC members?
This is Gary Duran speaking. I think that, at least when I talked to him, my son and I had some issues with respect to this, and I think that I would like to ask the chair's indulgence and let Mike or let my son Max articulate my concerns on this particular petition. You ready, Max?
Yes, sir. I had to get my mic. Sorry.
We'll stay in public comment and allow that at this time. Yes.
Okay. My name's Max Duran. I'm alternate for Gary Duran. I think Mr. Kozan basically summed up our questions. Is, you know, I'm every time I've been to a storage unit and ever unloaded, we're definitely there, you know, for at least a minimum of an hour, even just picking stuff up and moving stuff. I don't know anybody that, you know, it's much shorter than that. And where would the facilities be at this restroom on the side of this person's building or something?
Almost cutting out, Max. Gone on mute. There you go.
I said I think we agree with Mr. Kozan on most of his statements and the fact that, you know, most people spend an average of an hour or more at the storage unit. They're either moving all of their belongings in or all of their belongings out, or a good bulk of belongings into a storage unit. I don't know many people that rent a storage unit without having a bulk of stuff storing it, to be an indiscriminate amount of time that they're there and nowhere best for them to use the facility.
Does that conclude your comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Duran, did you have any other comments or questions?
Well, my only question would be is how do you get around the fact that it's pretty clear in the table under 8 that it said storage facilities? And the advocate for a place with 518 storage units not to provide public restrooms. People are going to be peeing on the end of the building or, you know, crapping behind the units or whatever.
Thank you. TAC members, any other clarifying questions or anyone from the public?
Yeah, this is Schilling. I'd like to make a comment. And, so I'm referring to what the petitioner stated, you know, and their reason not to, to provide these restroom facilities. So a quote here from the words of the petitioner. So the petitioner believes omitting the toilet facility does not compromise public safety, health, or welfare, and provides the petitioner with more storage facility. So the issue that I have there, that I strongly disagree, I think we should not have a restroom facility for a project of this magnitude. Certainly does compromise the health of the public. And where I take exception, and I agree with the proposing, is that, you know, you have 518 units. It's a pretty big facility. You know, I might think differently if this was out in the country somewhere where you got four or five units, but this is a substantial facility. And I agree with the other TAC members that you have a 10 by 20 storage unit there. This is a long ways away from just a quick drop-off. I think most of us on the TAC here, and that we're, you know, in the plumbing business, many of us, that we've all been involved with storage facilities for our shops and, you know, facilities like this. And to load a 10 by 20 unit, either in or out, you're going to be there an hour or 2 hours. It's not fair to the customers, the public here, to think that, you know, if they need a restroom, that they're going to have to pack everything up and, what, they're going to drive down the street to the 7-Eleven or the McDonald's, use their facilities. So I disagree with the comment that it does not affect the public health. I think it certainly does. And based on that, I move a motion to accept the staff's recommendation, and that is to require toilet facilities for this project.
Second.
Discussion?
Go ahead, sir.
For discussion, Gary Kozan. Clearly, the operative term with this situation is the word quick transaction. And the code doesn't define quick transaction, but the commentary provides some useful examples. And I'll read you just a few. Automatic teller machine lobbies, shoe repair, drop-off or pick-up, dry cleaners, takeout-only counters and restaurants, and entertainment ticket purchase lobbies. This certainly falls far beyond what I would deem to be a quick transaction, so I would agree with the motion.
And just to confirm, Mr. Schilling, that was staff recommendation number two to require the facilities at this location, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Seconded by Mr. Duren. TAC members, do we have any further discussion amongst members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept staff recommendation number two, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, that's a unanimous decision of 10-0. TAC members, do we have any further comments or business to discuss today? Anyone from the public with questions or comments? Hearing none, it is 1:25. We will consider our meeting adjourned. Have a good afternoon, and thank you for being here, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Bye. Good afternoon.